Seek God for the city. I'm going to be preaching through this, the topics of each week, over the course of the week, except for the week that I'm gone. John, you'll be preaching the week I'm gone. And it will be the topic that's in here. So, I'm not going to tell you all. I'll be talking to the elders about that on Tuesday. You know, about when I wish to take vacation. So, but we will be going through this book as a church here on Sunday morning. I'm going to be preaching on this, and so is John. Additionally, Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m., I know that sounds obscenely early, but really it's not. Most of you get up much earlier than that in the normal course of the week. And 9:30 a.m., Sunday school. Janet Douglas, my mother, is teaching on this. So the Sunday school class will be working on it. We have these available for everybody back there. Really, we want to encourage you all to pray. And along those lines, we're going to read some scripture today and look at the question. You know, prayer meeting, is it optional? Okay, let's look at the book of Acts, also known as 2 Luke. As Dr. Luke, this is his second book. But as we look at the book of Acts, we're going to start with verse 4 of chapter 1. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. And this is Jesus speaking now. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, when they met together, he asked them. When they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes in a cloud, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together, constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. We thank you for the privilege and honor we have to be enter right into your throne room. Lord, that we don't need someone to intercede on our behalf, but we can come directly to you. So Lord, we come to you right now and we seek your presence here this morning, your manifest presence. Lord, I seek your anointing. That as I preach your word, Lord, you would empower and speak through me. Lord, and I pray that you would stop up the ears to everyone here of anything that is not of you. But Lord, to all your word and your truth that is spoken by you, open their ears and their hearts to hear it and receive it. Father, we come before you seeking to be better followers of Christ, to be better Christians. the better children of the living God. Lord, meet with us and show us this day how we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the question is, prayer meeting optional? Yes, no? What are your thoughts? Any thoughts? Is a prayer meeting optional? I hear a couple no's. Didn't sound very emphatic to me. Kind of weak.
No.
Much better. But still, it's rather sparse. I'm going to put forth that prayer meeting isn't optional. It is not something that is an option for Christians. I've heard many people say, I don't have the gift of prayer. Yes, it is possible to have a special gift to be an intercessor, to have a spiritual gift that makes you better in some areas. Some people have the gift for singing. Does that mean that you aren't supposed to sing praise and worship songs, but if you aren't gifted to worship, you can't worship? None of us would say that that would be true. No, I can worship. I sit right up front here. One of the reasons is because you don't want to be behind in front, or you don't want me behind you when I'm singing, okay? You know, Butch has to deal with it, but he's got monitors, you know, hopefully that are counterbalancing my input. But I make a joyful noise in the Lord. And I worship. Do I have the spiritual gift of worship, being a worship leader? No. Anybody here think I have that gift? Please raise your hand. You think I have the gift of worship? Being a worship leader? Oh, we got to... I will sing with you or try to play an instrument sometime. I cannot sing and clap my hands at the same time. I can't keep the beat. Okay? So, prayer. It's truly not an option. Let me read verse 4 again. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Stop right there. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. As a matter of fact, you know, my grade in Greek from Crown College was a gift from the professor. Okay, he knew I tried hard. I learned a lot in that class. I learned more in that class than I did in any of the ones that I got A's in. But, you know, my, you know, squeaking by in that class was just, you know, a gift of mercy and grace beyond. But I do know scholars, and I do have books that I can look these things up, and this particular word, this command, is a military command as spoken, okay? Military commands, who here has been in the military? Raise your hand. I ask you, if you are given a command in the military, is it optional? A command is not optional. Don't get splitting hairs with me. A command. You have a command. You're supposed to do it. The only time that's different is if there's a higher level command that supersedes and da-da-da-da-da. Okay? If you're given a command, you're to do it. Now, let's ask this question. Does Jesus have the authority to give command? Anybody dispute that? Okay. He is the head of all the church. God has given all authority unto him. Not some of the authority, not most of the authority, but all authority unto him. That sounds like a lot. It is. It's all there is. And he gave a command. Didn't give a suggestion, didn't give a recommendation, didn't say, you know, I think this would be nice. He said, gave command. Say, but pastor, let's be particular here. Now, this is in the book of Acts. We don't want to take this as being too prescriptive. You know, and he's speaking to the disciples. Let me ask you this. Are you a disciple? Are you a follower of Christ? Yes or no? And then truly, this is speaking to you. It is Jesus speaking to the church. It is Jesus speaking to those who are Christ's followers. They weren't known as Christians yet at this point, but they were such. They were followers of Jesus. They were His disciples. This command, if you claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is to you. And what is the command that He gives? Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak of. What was that gift in particular he's talking about? Prayer. You say, well, I don't live in Jerusalem. How am I supposed to? Don't leave Jerusalem. You know, a couple of us have had maybe the privilege to go to Jerusalem. Hey, it's a great place. I love it. I learned a lot there. I hope to go over there next year. And I hope a bunch of you go with. However, what this is particularly saying is, stay here and wait upon the Lord until the Holy Spirit comes. Now, how do you wait upon the Lord? What's another word for this? Prayer. Prayer is our communication with God. It's a conversation with God. It's a special word we have given a conversation with God. Now, most of the time, we think of prayer as being just us going to God with our laundry list of I wants. Okay, God, we think He's like a super genie, and we just call Him up and say, okay, I want this, 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 or maybe Santa Claus, and here's my wish list, give me this. Anybody ever pray like that? You know, I've done my share of, oh, God, give me, give me, give me. And as a child, I did my share of, oh, Mommy, Daddy, give me, give me, give me. We're going to God our Father, and we're saying, prayer is to be more than just a gimme list. It's to be communication. Communication is a two-way street. We speak to God, and we pour out our heart to Him, but He also pours out His heart to us. This is prayer. To do that, sometimes we need to we have to listen. Wait for Him to answer. God always answers. Now, He doesn't always answer with the answer we'd want to hear. That's funny. My parents did the same thing as I was growing up. And it's really funny because I do the same thing to my children. I wonder what that's all about, right? Oh, yeah. He knows better than I do. He is God. And He has my best interest and also has what is best for His glory and mine. And that is what supersedes all things, is what's best for His glory. Not what's necessarily even best for me. Well, He loves me and wants what is best for me. But what's best for me ultimately is His glory. Okay? Now we look at this. And I had my eyes reopened to this passage here a little over a week ago. My mother and I had the privilege of going down to Atlanta, Georgia, to a conference, a leadership summit for the College of Prayer International. And we had people from 14 separate countries that flew into the United States. There were a lot more than 14 different ethnicities represented. And we had many speakers of different language groups. Several required interpretation. And yet, God spoke through each and every one of these speakers. And the topic was prayer. But bringing home prayer. Living out prayer. And One of the phrases that was shared by Mike Plunkett, who is one of the speakers and also a friend of mine, another pastor within the CMA that I've known for years and have ministered side by side with on many occasions at General Council. We have what's called, originally we had the Reliance, we had the prayer room. We had a 24-hour prayer room for a number of years at General Council, and then that moved on and became AHOP, which is the Alliance House of Prayer. Which is a place that we set aside at Council for special intercessory prayer and also for those who need prayer to come and receive prayer. As there are many wounded pastors that show up and other people who show up at General Council. And this is a time that they can be ministered to and also pray for the leadership and the meetings that whatever legislative issue is being handled is handled in a godly manner. And this all goes on. I've known Mike for years, about 18 years now. Anyhow, Mike said, and when he said this, every pastor in the group had their pen out and they wrote this down. He says, I don't have too many brand new creative ideas. I steal most of the good ones from somebody else. I get the ingredients from elsewhere else, but the recipe's mine. And the pastor's like, oh yeah, good stuff. Because the best stuff I share, I got from somebody else. God gave it to me, through somebody else. Somebody else spoke it. So this is one of the reasons why it's important to go to some conferences and read books and do things like this so I can get fresh stuff coming in, plus studying the Word. Okay? You get these various insights. One of the insights, he reminded me about some things of a man, another man who I've met and knew not as well as they did, by the name of Armin Geswein. And he is one of the premier supporters of prayer and probably the father of prayer movement in the United States, though most of you have probably never heard of him. How many of you heard of Billy Graham? Anybody here? Anybody here, Billy Graham? Yeah, this guy. He's got this small little ministry. Had an office here in Minneapolis for a little while. But, a couple people came to know the Lord through his ministry. A million or two or three. Billy Graham wasn't always a big deal. In fact, when he was just starting out, really getting going, one of the first guys to give him a shot and where his ministry really took off, what's known for is a special thing that he did in L.A. in, I think it was 49. That was his first big revival meeting. That was one that really impacted Hollywood. A lot of people came to know the Lord there. Armin is the guy who invited Billy Graham to come. And Armin and the group that he led, while Billy Graham was across the street in the stadium having the big meeting that was presenting the gospel to all these people who didn't know Christ, Armin and 2,000 other people were across the street praying for Billy Graham. Armin has seen, and if you could put the first slide up on the screen that I got for you. He said, when Christ ascended into heaven, all he left behind was a prayer meeting. The early church didn't have a prayer meeting. The early church was the prayer meeting. In fact, in the early church, every Christian was a prayer meeting Christian. Think about this. The disciples, they saw Jesus go up in heaven. We just read this. As he saw him ascend. A couple angels show up next to him and say, what are you doing standing around here? It's reminding them that they've been given orders. They've been given a command. How did they fulfill that command? They went back to the upper room. They gathered for prayer. Verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. When Jesus left, they didn't say, let's hold a revival meeting. They didn't say, we need to find us a good preacher. We need a new Sunday school class. We need to study about how to the roots of this word. You know, none of these things are bad things, but that's not what they did. They gathered for prayer because that's what they've been told to do. Everybody who was a legitimate follower of Christ that the Scripture counts as such was at this prayer meeting. 7 days later, after the Ascension, we have what is called the Day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost, let's give me the next slide. That's what Armin said on it. So, next one. Pentecost didn't come through a preaching service. Pentecost came to a prayer service. From Pentecost to Patmos, God never departs from this pattern. God's ministry and the growth of the church, God, the showing up of the Holy Spirit, came and is birthed out of prayer. Again, what is prayer? Talking to God, listening to God, seeking God's will, seeking God's heart for us, His people. And they went and they sought after God for 7 days after the Ascension. The church met. And all who are counted here, we see this in chapter 2, all those who are counted are numbered there. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All. They're numbered. And later, after the Holy Spirit falls, and they're speaking in tongues, and people are saying, hey, well, this is crazy stuff, and Paul gets up and says, hey, no, we're not drunk. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what the message is. You know, that Jesus whom you crucified? Oh, yeah, we did that. He's actually God. But He died for you. Paul lays it out. Paul lays it out clear as day. And what happens? If we go to verse 41. Those who accepted His message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That wasn't birthed out of anything except prayer. Prayer is the tool that God wants us to use. And we see this same cycle, the same pattern throughout the book of Acts. When we see prayer, we see a prayer meeting, we see a bunch of people come to know Christ. Prayer meeting, a bunch of people know Christ. Go through the book of Acts, see it for yourself. It's there. Yes, this is prescriptive for the church. It is a command to us. We are to meet in prayer. Verse 42, chapter 2. They, those who are Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. People, we need to devote ourselves to prayer. Not just as individuals to our own prayer closets. Yes, we need to have that private time of prayer. Each of us needs to have that individual time with God. I love that. With my own children, I've got three boys. I love when our whole family comes together and we have a big family event and everybody's there and that's great and I get to spend time with everybody. But you know what's really, really, really special for me? Is when I get to spend time with just one of my sons. It's just the two of us. That's special. It's not that I don't love the other ones and don't want to spend time with them. In fact, I want to spend time with each of them. Just me and them. These are really special times. Now, I love my sons this way. And hopefully, if you have children of your own, you may feel that same way or with your own parent. You know, anybody here have siblings? Okay. You ever have to share your parent with them and get a little, but I wanted to talk to mom. Or it was my turn to go with dad. We were going to go fishing. Yeah. Why is he coming? I thought it was just going to be us. God wants that with us too. Yes, so we need to have that private time. But, God also wants to have the family reunion. He wants to have the family all gathered together at the kitchen table. Now, this is something that is sorely lacking in our own culture today. Here in the American culture, how many families gather at the kitchen table, gather together for their meal anymore? Sometimes they might have the TV sitting up there. You know, that's the one who's really important. We got our food and we watch TV and, you know, we don't talk. But meals are meant to be a time of sharing and fellowship. That's why God's Word is considered, you know, it's food for us. And the kitchen table represents the whole family coming together for a time of fellowship and nourishment and strengthening and to hear from the head of the household what the marching orders are for the next day. People, this is the church's prayer meeting. We don't get our marching orders from the preacher. They don't come from here. They come from here and from Him, our Lord in heaven, who also resides in the heart of each and every one of us who calls Jesus Lord and Savior. Well, how do I know if I'm here for God? You got to talk to Him before you can recognize His voice. There are certain people call me on the phone. Hi. They don't even have to tell me who they are. I know who it is. I recognize their voice. Why? Because I talk to them all the time. That's how you recognize God's voice. Talk to Him. Then when He calls you, you'll know who it is. It's not rocket science, but it works. This is what God wants. God wants us to pray privately, individually, corporately, together. He called the church to a prayer meeting. He has called us to pray together. This next season, 40 days, we are going to seek to do this using Seek God for the City as a tool to help us to do this, to give us something as of some guidelines, a little direction. Why? Because some of us are farther along and more mature in our prayer life and able to pray than some of the others. This puts us on equal footing, says this is where we're at, this is what we're doing, and then we can each go at our own level. And some of us will grow during this period of time, and some will just be reminded of the basics and be strengthened thereby also. Because even pro athletes go over the basics. Okay, you go over the fundamentals. constantly. Why? Because if you don't, you lose it. You get trouble that creeps in. You start doing things wrong. So we're going to go through this together. This will be the church coming together as a body to pray. We will do this separately in our homes, with our individuals and as families apart, but also here corporately as church. Because God has called us to be a house of prayer for all nations. Not some nations, not most nations, but all nations. That's what He's called us. Little something I have for you each all. Butch, John, if you two could come up. You could just take these and split them up and pass them out so everybody gets one. These are little bookmarks. Have a little thing about the Lord's Prayer and also a little thing about putting on the armor of God. These are the Lord's Prayer, as I taught on before Christmas, is the form that God gave us. He gave us, the disciples came to Him and said, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, okay, this is how you do it. He taught them how to pray. This is, in another instance, He tells them, this is what you pray. So it's both a how and a what. Again, something else I stole from somebody else. And I said, yeah, that's great. That's exactly what's there. I see it. And it's exactly what's in God's Word. But we look at this. This is a tool. One more tool for you, to help you in prayer over this next season. And maybe longer. Hopefully longer. Prayer will become part of who we are as a church. Not just something that we kind of do. I think it's great, it's awesome that we have our time of praise and testimony, that we have people come up and ask for prayer requests, and we have people give God things. But that's not the only time we need prayer, or the only prayer we should have as a body. We need to meet for prayer. A lot of people, and even in this book, are thinking that we're praying for revival of the world. Praying wrong, people. First thing we need to pray is revival in the church. Revive us, O Lord, and let us be salt and light to the world. That's the order that God has given us. We're not supposed to revive the school. God's not there. He was kicked out long ago. Revive the city hall. That's not God's institution. The church is God's institution. Revive us, O Lord. Hopefully we've all died to the flesh and now we're willing to live for Christ. That's the revival that we want. To live for Christ. But we do that through prayer. That's how we're going to hear our marching orders. So let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning. We give You praise. Lord, we come together as the body of Christ here represented at Northbrook, seeking Your will for Your people here this day in this place. Lord, we're not coming to You right now with our wish list, our petitions, saying, Lord, give me, give me, give me. Lord, no, we just want to sit back and say, Father God, thank You. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the salvation that You give us. Thank You for the breath and the blessings You give us each and every day that are fresh and new. And Lord, we're not going to worry about the things of the world. We're just going to trust in You. But Father, we want to be good stewards. We want to be good children of You, the Creator. And in order to do this, Lord, we need to know what it is You would have us to do next. What Your will is for us. Lord, we come before you right now. We seek your face. Speak to us, your people, Lord. Guide us as a body. And guide us each as your children. Might we, your church, truly be light and salt to the world. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.